Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Now Spinning. Today, we have a very special guest with us. Let's all go around and introduce ourselves.
Noah Miller.
Jacob Zakvik.
And, of course, we have...
Dedalian Lowry.
And I'm still Simon Medina, contrary to popular belief. So I just want to start out by saying thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
For those who don't know, Dedalian runs the radio station down here, and he's been very, very helpful for us trying to figure out the ins and outs of running this whole podcast thing. So I just want to thank you again for all that.
Hey, you guys have been doing a great job. It's really, you're great hosts. You do a wonderful job. You're knowledgeable about music. And I will admit there are times you've talked about stuff, and I went, I'm going to check that out. So you're doing it.
That's good. That's all we that's awesome. We like to hear. As long as someone's checking out the stuff we talk about.
Right.
Good.
No pressure.
No, none at all. So I just wanted to kind of start out with just a question for you. How did you come to, you know, run a radio station like this? What kind of stuff influenced you to try and go down this career path?
Well, I mean, the career path really was just starting with on air, and that's what I did for the longest time. I had remembered at one point in my life, let's backtrack a little bit. So I actually spent a year as a marketing representative for an insurance company. And the thing about that job, what it taught me was do something you love, because I absolutely dreaded going to that job every single day. I woke up every morning going, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And so when I decided to return to school, because I had already gotten an advertising degree from Michigan State, I decided I wanted to go back for something I wanted to do. And I wanted to get into radio. Love music, love radio itself. And I had heard that LCC had a radio program. So I came back to LCC just to do the media technology program. Now that's changed quite a bit since I actually started here, but that's really the essential reason why that I wanted to do radio. It's just, I love music.
When around was that time you started there?
I started the program, I want to say back in 97, 98. And back then it was known as the media technology program.
Gotcha.
It was about 2006 or so that program was actually dissolved. So it's no longer around. DMAC is probably about the closest that LCC has to what it was.
And is also in flux right now.
Yes.
So it's important to remember for schools that, like, especially as technology changes, things are going to change.
And really that's what it comes down to. I mean, I worked at Q106 for a while. And when I first started there, we were running off of CDs at that time. Mm. And I had a great job, loved doing it. And then I got fired. And the reason I got fired is technology. Automation came in, and that became a new thing. And a lot of the times when you listen to radio now, I'm not going to say it always happens, but a lot of the times those people are not actually in that studio anymore. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where it's at now. So radio game has changed even in the span of time that I've been in radio, which really is not that long. It's been about 20 years now, mm-hmm. Well, 25. Man, I'm really aging myself.
I know 92.9 does something similar to that. They have like the one DJ who, and he also does like the music lessons and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he's not always there. He's like, he records his parts separately. They kind of just punch him in on air.
Mm. Yeah. It's definitely a different game. No more spinning records. Did I ever answer your questions, Simon? I'm notorious for not doing that.
I think that was a good answer. Like, I was just asking how you got into it. I think that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So were you ever, like, you were a radio DJ then? Were you doing that kind of stuff?
Or? Yeah, that's exactly. So fantastic. I didn't quite answer your question. Where I did start was as on air. Worked as production. I was over at WFMK for a while. I was at WVIC at one point. WVIC, when I was on there, was a classic hits radio station. And then eventually what happened was is I actually got out of radio. I want to say probably about 2010, I got out of radio. And the reason I got out was because I was married. And radio was very much, and still is very much, a thing where if you really want to make it, you've got to be willing to pick up, move, go to a different city. Mm. Because, you know, you're talking about Lansing, it's probably like 100, I don't even know now, but like 110 market. And if you wanted to make money, you wanted to go to the bigger markets like Seattle, LA, New York, Chicago, anything like that, you're going to be able to get a better job. Well, being married, I didn't want to do that. So I actually went back to LCC again. And I got a graphic design degree. So I had a graphic design and an advertising degree. I got into graphic design, started doing that for a little while. And then my predecessor, Dave Downing, he actually retired in 2012. Well, when this position became open, and I had already left radio for probably about a good 2 years, once this came open, I said, all right, apparently I'm supposed to get back into radio. And so I applied for the position.
Just when they get me out, they pull me right back in.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it works, man.
But I think it worked out, though. It's a nice setup you have down here.
Well, especially now that we're in transition and all the walls are
worked out. Oh, especially, yeah. You can look over into the room over. There's just a ladder sitting there.
Yeah, we're currently in the process of redoing the entire studio area.
Yeah.
And so for anybody that really is not going to be here, the walls are all ripped up. There's pretty much the place is gutted now, other than the one room we're sitting in and my office.
Very that's nice. It. Yeah, every week we've come down to record, there's more and more stuff that's like disappeared. There's whole walls disappearing now, and I was like, something's going on here.
But the eternal TV broadcast.
No, that's still going. So, you know, I kind of wanted to get a little bit into music. So I know, firstly, you know, we're a vinyl record club. I was wondering, like, do you collect any vinyl yourself?
So my very first music collection was 8 tracks.
Mm-hmm. Very awesome.
Yeah. My very first car had an 8-track player in it.
Ooh.
And I had some killer 8-tracks, like I had Kiss's Love Gun. Nice. This is how I got to know the band. And most people don't know them, but there was a band out of England called Paper Lace. They did Billy, Don't Be a Hero, and The Night Chicago Died. Those are the two songs they are most known for.
I have heard both of those songs, actually. That's crazy.
And so I had like that. And then, of course, my grandparents had quite a few country albums. So that's kind of how I got to know it, you know, because you've got these 8-tracks and you're like, well, they're in the car. I'm going to go ahead and listen to these. And then eventually I went to cassettes because I'm a kid of the 80s. So eventually you get to CDs. And I will say that I eventually bought records once I got to about my 30s. Never really created a vast collection. Most of what I have is usually, when it comes to records, if I'm going to listen to a record, it's going to be a sit-down experience.
Right.
And that's typically why a lot of my records tend to be jazz or blues-oriented, because those are albums that, for whatever reason, I like to just kind of chill out, sit with a glass of, you know, beverage, and just kind of hang out.
Nice.
Very awesome. Yeah, it seems like it went a little bit, again, with the vinyl record thing, I feel like it kind of went a little bit backwards there, you know, cassettes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 8-track, cassette, CD, all the way back to vinyl, to the start.
It definitely did. I can tell you the very first cassette I bought, but I can't tell you the very first album I ever bought, as far as, like, vinyl goes. Oh. Very first cassette I ever bought was Jay Giles' Freeze Frame.
Ooh. Okay.
Now, was that a good ooh or a bad one?
I've brought Jay Giles into meetings before.
Because that is like still, to this day, one of my favorite albums. And by any means, you know, Jay Giles, if you go far enough back in their catalog, you'll find that they were more of a almost Aerosmith bar band kind of a vibe. Played a lot of blues.
They're pretty corny, but
I love that album.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah. Yeah. But it's all legit. It's there, and like you said, with the pretty obvious blues influence, like you can tell that they're not just goofing.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, they know their stuff.
They're pretty cool. You know, you can hear Love Stinks and think, well, this is a bit silly. Well, that's a kind of a pretty hard blues song.
Well,
like,
and if
you
dive into that album, they do have some blues influenced stuff on there. And then as you talk about silly, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but they do a skit on there that's all about a lady who turns into a bowling ball. Yeah, okay, all right, you know it.
I know, right.
You nice know absurdism. The album.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that one also, dedicated harmonica player.
Yeah,
which is very, very blues.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I've ever like seen a band that has a dedicated harmonica guy. That must be that's a craft you have to hone after years and years. I believe that's powerful. But
I ended up finding one in the crowd at one of my performances, and they did the line for Tom Petty's Mary Jane's Last Dance.
That is awesome.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
Did they have the harmonica ready?
Yes.
Oh. They were ready.
That guy, I mean, that guy was way too amped
but,
up.
But that's the great part about a harmonica is you can always just have it in your back pocket something.
You got to be ready.
Traffic jam.
I mean, I feel like the harmonica player was a little smarter than the drummer in that taking all the drums in, never a fun thing. In fact, most of my friends have always been drummers, and they always complain about it every time. But they are usually the one with the car or the truck, and they're the one that usually totes everybody to the gig. Yeah. So
I just have a mental image of the harmonica guy just kind of standing there while everybody else is lugging all their stuff out of the van.
Yeah.
He's like, I got everything. What are you guys taking so long for?
But that's exactly it.
Try a singer with their microphone.
Yeah, exactly. Gosh. But kind of segueing through this, you seem to have a very eclectic kind of music taste. So I kind of want to pose the question that's sort of the theme of the episode today, which is, you know, if you got trapped on a metaphorical desert island where you also had a record player for some reason.
And power for some
reason. And power and everything you need to survive on a desert island. But you could only bring three records, you know, what would they be? What makes you,
well,
what's your favorites?
I really struggled with this when you asked me this question because, as you said, I like a lot of different things. And I had to think about, okay, well, what would I want on a desert island? And I don't know if it's the right way to go or not, but I feel like some sort of island vibe thing should be a part of my collection on this island. So what I kind of went with in the first place is Michael Franti and Spearhead, The Sound of Sunshine from 2010. Mm. Anybody familiar with it?
I don't think so.
Is anybody familiar with Michael Franti?
I feel like I've heard the name, but I'm not really sure
so
where.
So he used to be with the group called Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy.
Okay.
Wow. Okay. So that was early 90s hip hop. And what I really like about the album is it does mix in some hip hop beats. You've got some reggae and soulful folk rock. And it still holds a little bit of the island vibe. Now, the thing of it is when he went to do this album, actually, it was before he did it, his appendix almost burst.
Ooh.
So, yeah, he ended up in the hospital. And he almost died, and they ended up helping him out. He got back, and he said that, like, prior to, like, him doing this album, how it kind of came about was he just felt happy to be alive. So everybody that would walk into his hospital room, and he'd just start crying. And they're like, what's wrong? He's like, I'm just happy to be alive, man. And you can really hear the optimism in the album. So my thought is if I'm on an island with nobody else around, I need a little optimism.
That's fair.
Plus, it's also got a nice variety. So you're talking about kind of that easy, nice folk, but also there's some danceable numbers. Mm-hmm. So it's an enjoyable album.
Yeah, I feel like any good desert island record list, you got to have something a little bit island related. You know what I mean? I feel like, you know, people are like, oh, it defeats the purpose of the question, but like, it's good. It's good music. You know, it's nice to bring it.
Well, and
it's relaxing.
As people from Michigan, you know, we enjoy a good palm tree and
exactly
sand. Yeah. And so you're going to need that reminder every once in a while that, hey, this isn't that bad. At least I get to hang out with Wilson and do my thing here on the island.
Exactly.
Well, especially like my ancestors did.
There you go. Yeah. Especially like, I think of, you know, Caribbean island type music a lot, reggae and the like, and specifically like first wave ska is one of those genres that is like almost always upbeat and happy. And that's like a great example of like, you're going to be in a pretty crummy situation on a desert island. You're going to want to be happy.
Yeah.
You know
what you're gonna need something to pick you up.
Yeah, yeah, and that's island music can really swing either way. You know, I think like reggae is a perfect example of there are some bitterly depressing reggae songs, but then there's some where you just like, man, this is such a good vibe.
Well, and that's what I love about that album is it just you can hear the reggae influence. It doesn't overpower it, and it brings in like just a mix of different genres.
Awesome,
it's just enjoyable all the way through.
Very cool. Nice. Moving down the list, got a couple more here that seems interesting.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different.
All right.
Like.
All right. So apparently this is all on Dedalion, huh?
Oh, no, it's okay.
No, that's cool. Let's go. I'm down. So Dave Brubeck Quartet Timeout would be my second pick. 1959, peaked at number 2 on the Billboard pop charts with the first jazz album ever to sell 1 million copies. That's pretty dang awesome.
Yeah.
This is actually Dave Brubeck's Timeout was my introduction to jazz. Got to know it back when I was going to college at Michigan State. And it's just always maintained probably to be one of my all-time favorite jazz albums. The reason I chose a jazz album is because I thought, okay, well, I'm going to be there, you know, on the island. I'm probably going to try to work on a little boat or something like that, you know. And jazz is something I always like to have in the background and just chill out. I had to throw some Dave Brubeck in there.
I mean, that's certainly the one to pick, man.
I agree.
And I'm not sure which one it would be, but probably Oscar Peterson might be my second pick somewhere along the line. But definitely that one.
No, this record, I do love this record. I mean, this is also maybe one of the first jazz albums I ever like actually sat down and listened to all the way through. Like, I've heard Take Five a bunch, but I never really like registered that as like a whole album until I was. There's this challenge. It's not really a challenge, but it was a book, but now it's kind of like an internet list. It's like 1,001 albums you have to listen to before you die, and this was like one of the first 10, and that was about as far as I got before I dropped out because it was too many albums. But but I do think that's really. I did really enjoy it, and I. It does seem nice.
Do you genuinely have a list going that you got to catch up on?
I have a separate list. Every time someone recommends me something, I'm like, I'll put it on the list, and it's getting a little bit out of hand, but we're working on it. I'm not going to disclose the exact number on this podcast, but it's high.
I've seen him pull up like a note app on his phone before, and it's
not even the note
daunting.
App anymore.
It's so daunting.
That's the second list. It doesn't exist. Don't worry.
All right, before I get to my final pick, you guys have at least got to throw something at me.
Oh, yeah. So a couple things about Dave Brubeck. One, I incidentally discovered Dave Brubeck through his son, Chris Brubeck, who was a trombonist. And when I was first learning trombone in the sixth grade, my dad got me here's an album of trombone music. So I saw Chris Brubeck, cool. And then years later, everybody was talking about Dave Brubeck, and I'm like, who's this Dave guy? You know, and turns out way more famous. Obviously, his father.
Good joke.
very, very prolific jazz musician. And I think, you know, we talked about like first album to sell a million.
Yep.
It's very rooted in jazz, but like mentioning Take Five is a great example of it still pushed the genre. And it was still kind of experimental in some ways. So it wasn't just like, you know, kicking out another jazz album. Like, it was cool stuff for jazz fans and new jazz fans.
There was a BC, just an interesting side note. There was a BBC writer, and I can't remember his name, but he had said that he felt like Kathy's Waltz was probably the inspiration for the Beatles, All My Loving. I don't remember the specifics. I don't remember why. But I just thought that was kind of interesting.
I'm not too familiar with the song it's based off, but I know that song's like, it's just like a lot of triplets on the rhythm guitar repeated really quickly the whole song. So I don't know if that has something to do with the jazz thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's an interesting little song.
Yeah.
It sounds painful to play, though.
I think I think that's the one that bounces between like the regular like 6-8 like do 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 do,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so it kind of like switches meters and stuff. I mean, the whole album is, you know, got a bunch of like rhythmic meter stuff. Blue Rondo a la Turk definitely has like a big shift that 9-8 like really quick rhythm and then into the classic kind of like, you know, jazz swing thing.
Well, and bringing back the experimental nature of it is, you know, obviously like way early on, a lot of jazz was very dance oriented. And that's like, try and dance to Take Five. You know what I mean? Like, it can be done, but boy, do you like quickly realize like, I am really used to 4-4. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason it's all in 4-4. But it's still got a heck of a good rhythm.
Oh yeah, and Joe Morello's solos when they do it live, really really fun. Especially the kind of like ostinato that he sort of bases a lot of his solos off of with that.
That's good. So hop down a list a little bit more. I think we've got something again. This is another left turn, I think.
Well, I wouldn't call it a left turn. I think it's what most people would expect from me who know me well.
Oh, okay.
And I had to sit there and think about this because I thought, okay, I want one metal album to be a part of my collection on this island because I am a metal guy at heart. This is what I grew up on. It's the stuff I love. And I was like, I want one metal artist. Who would it be? And I went for more bang for your buck than actual specifically which album would I pick. And the reason I did it was because I was like, again, I'm on an island. I want a lot of tunes and I want a lot of variety. So I went with Iron Maiden. And I still was like kind of, I was going back and forth because they got the Best of the Beast and you got Ed Hunter. Ed Hunter is the one I decided to go on. That one's from 99. And the reason I decided on that one was because I felt like it gave me, first of all, more songs. But also, secondly, I think most of the songs on there, and I think it's because they let the fans pick the songs on that particular album. They just kind of coincided with, I was like, I'd love to have that song on there. I want that song. I want that song. So there was just more songs. And it also included more Paul Di'Anno songs, which was the original singer for Maiden. Now, side note to this whole thing, and I'm guessing you guys probably don't know it, or maybe you do, but there was actually a video game released with this album.
Wow. Never heard of that. No.
It is so bloody awful.
Oh, no.
It is terrible. Even by 1999 standards, the graphics are terrible. And I never played it myself, but I had heard that it was pretty rotten.
Well, I know they, one of their album covers is like a very early 3D rendering of just like, you know, it's just people like people figures and stuff in like hell or something like that. But it's, I don't know. It's just very goofy and just shoddy looking stuff. Like, yeah, I don't know.
They don't do that anymore. They don't put out video game tie-ins to albums that much. This was definitely
was that normal for? I've heard of
a couple of them actually. Okay. I think it was Kiss. They made an album. They made a video. Kiss
did everything. Yeah, like, they would try anything and everything if they felt like they were going to make a.
Yeah, I think that there was a. I don't know. I think there was a David Bowie album that was like. I think it was a soundtrack to a game, or like the game came first. I'm not really sure. Either way, it wasn't that good of an album, but I know that that was kind of related. But that was also again late '90s, early 2000s. So that seemed to be the style at the time.
Well, yeah. I think even Avenged Sevenfold has like a, they have a game just kind of based around like, based around Hail to the King. That came out in like, I think 2011, 2012. But yeah, I don't know, similar kind of thing. It's kind of like a World of Warcraft sort of knockoff kind of thing.
Huh.
But I don't know.
Well, if you want a good laugh, I seriously recommend you look up Ed Hunter video game and see what comes up. Nice. It's terrible.
Powerful.
What would be some standout tracks from that one?
Really, you're talking about almost the greatest hits of Iron Maiden. So you're talking about Number of the Beast. You're talking about, I'm trying to think of everything. I don't know if Can I Play With Madness is on there or not, but Somewhere in Time, just a lot of great stuff.
Nice.
All the way through. Thanks for quizzing me on that, because like I wasn't ready for that one.
Well, when you're trapped on the desert island, you'll have plenty of time to memorize.
So what about you guys? Give me at least one album you would have on.
I mean, kind of piggybacking off of your, like, at least you have one island-themed album. One thing I really liked was the album Seychelles by Masayoshi Takenaka. He's a Japanese jazz fusion guitarist. Okay. And that album is very... It's probably like the most tropical-sounding album I've ever listened to that's not by Jimmy Buffett. It's such a beautiful vibe. It transports you. That's what I'm saying. Like, it takes you to an island. You know, you're hanging out. It's a really great time. I'd love to talk more about it, but we don't have a whole lot of time.
No,
to get
we don't. But
it,
I will say that Buffett came into my realm of thought, and I thought that might be a little too much island for me.
Yeah, that's fair.
If I had to pull an island one specifically, so going back to ska, I would probably pick like something by like the Skatalites. But I don't actually know specific albums by them. I only know greatest hits. So that's probably something I would go with. But something like an Eddie Grant who isn't technically from an island, but close enough. It's from Guyana. But like that's one where there's enough variety in his types of songs. And like you said, like you're going to be trapped there. You're going to want some variety.
Right.
But definitely get some of that island vibe in some of those songs. Definitely get some of that like reggae ska type influence. And like songs with like sick electronic synth parts and stuff on it too. Where you're just like, yeah, dude, like
very good.
You need some different stuff.
I'd probably go with, this might be recency bias, but the new Viagra Boys self-titled-ish album, Viagra Boys. Just really fun. I like the Pyramid of Health. That one's got a verse, hanging out in the desert on a boat with some guy yelling into my ear about eating cactuses for breakfast.
Nice.
You know, and it's, I don't know, just a lot of really fun stuff. Dirty Boys also has some really fun parts of it. It's just kind of sort of depicting, like, I don't know, just sort of degenerate people, and they like collect a bunch of stuff and, you know, do drugs by the under the bridge or something like that.
Oh, geez.
But sounds fun.
I mean, it's just a lot of fun, noisy punk rock, but also kind of like danceable. Dirty Boys in particular, I could hear David Byrne singing over it, very much like Talking Heads-esque. Mm. But yeah, just a lot of fun. I gotta check
that band out. That they're on the list. They're on the list somewhere to work.
I want to see this list sometime.
I'll show it to you after the. I'll show you to you after the episode.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I think that does about wrap it up for today, though. Thank you so much for being on today.
Thanks for having me.
Great honor to have you with us. But if you're interested in all, you, the listener, in checking out any of our past episodes or any of our future meeting dates, anything like that, you can come check out our website, which we linked with the show. Any information you need to know about the Vinyl Club is there. Our schedule, past podcasts, playlists, any updates about meetings, any of that kind of thing. So thank you all for checking in, and we hope to see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.